Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Today is January 26, 2019, and, you know, I did not know it was going to rain today. I need to check my phone more often. I get up getting ready to do things. I'm like, where did all this come from? So, anyway, we need the rain. Fantastic. Hopefully, it'll leave quick so I can get my work done. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, CEFCO. I always start my day out with a fresh cup of Joe, and I've got it right here in the video. Fresh cup of Joe, premium coffee. I like it because it tastes the same all the time. So go to Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. They got all sorts of goodies, specials going on, but definitely get some coffee, get your paper, smokes, whatever it takes to start your day. We're simulcasting right here and right now on KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch in Cameron, and out of Rockdale at KRXT at 98.5 FM as well. So if you can't get the stations in too well, go to the prospective websites and listen to us live that way. If you want to be part of the show, give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633 or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Follow us on social medias. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Lots of good videos there and information. Follow us on Instagram. Like us on Facebook. And definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. I've had a few large classes, and I'm trying to tell everybody, if you just go to the website and link to my or subscribe to my YouTube page, we have videos of attorneys, special guests, product previews, the whole works. Lots of great information. Doesn't cost you anything. All you need to do is subscribe, okay? We've got a lot going on the show. Let me give you some highlights as to what's coming up today. True stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. Let's read and learn what to do and what not to do in situations like these. Our License to Carry Attorney segment with attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will explain why the feds, state, and local law enforcement raid people or businesses when they have authority to do so. And I understand in most cases, but sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it just seems weird. So Ross is going to explain to us the necessities and sometimes why it happens and other problems that go with it. This week's Tactical Snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman will be diet-friendly desserts. Now, this sounds enlightening to me. I heard a lot of groans on that one. Comedy's not good with me. Okay, at 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the communicator of common sense, the director of diplomacy, an all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. This week's product spotlight, brought to you by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the Turkish-made Kanik, or Kanik, PT9SA 9mm pistol. Now, I've shot this gun, and it feels good, shoots straight, and the price is right. And I'll talk about it around 11:20. So if you want, give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. Or go to my Facebook page, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page, and you'll see Chief Loading Rifle there holding it. And you get to see what it looks like. Okay, and then give ANC Firearms a call. Tell them you want it. But we'll be talking about it at 11:20 today. In my interview segment, it's going to be a free-for-all. A little bit of this and a little bit of that, so stay tuned. Now, everybody, if Master Key joins us, she'll be beating me up in the studio here. You'll all enjoy that, and we'll see what she has to offer if she comes on in today. So stay tuned. Strap yourselves in. Crank up the volume. Call everybody you know to listen. Get your note-taking materials ready. And when we come back after this break, we'll start the show with True Story. So we'll see you on the other side. All right, we're back with the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Again, it's January 26, 2019, and we are in the armed, or not the armed citizen, but the stories of self-defense section of the program, and I'm using it out of the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And to my left here, I have the attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, so maybe he'll chime in with a comment or two if there's something applicable to these stories. Okay, Ross? Story number one. American Airlines flight attendant Teresa Quinn saw a man sneaking into a neighbor's garage near Dallas, Texas, near the Dallas, Texas home, armed with a revolver. Quinn confronted the man and held him for more than 20 minutes before police arrived. Police accused the man of setting six separate fires in North Dallas homes. He had already been convicted in setting a fire to two homes and four automobiles and was out on bond. A fire investigator said of the intrepid stewardess, "We need more folks like her." And ladies and gentlemen, that's a perfect example of being ready, being prepared. God forbid a situation happens. You don't have to pull the weapon. You don't have to shoot the weapon. You can use Penal Code 904, threat as a justifiable force, and still keep your person at bay. She pulled out the revolver, though, and that's fine. But it was not used as deadly force. It was used as threat as justifiable force. Penal Code 904, and we teach that in the License to Carry class.
That's a pretty good assessment there.
Thank you, sir. From you, that's a major compliment. Thank you. All right, story number two. C.H. Meadows, 83, awoke to find an intruder choking his wife. I wonder if he paid her. Paid him. When the Longview, Texas householder tried to intervene, the criminal threatened him with a butcher knife. When the intruder began ransacking the house for loot, Meadows grabbed a .410 shotgun and opened fire, hitting the assailant in the shoulder and putting him to flight. Gee, I don't know what to say about that. He finds this guy choking his wife.
And then the guy just starts
looting the house, yeah. He said, I'm done choking your wife. There's some things I want to get. Okay.
Wow.
Well, crazy things. You know, it's the same thing with firing ammunition. When you fire a cartridge, the bullet, when it leaves the barrel of the gun, you have no idea what it's going to do. It could bounce, it could tumble, it could do whatever. So when it comes to a criminal in a situation like this, you never know what's going to happen. Story number three. Ward Yont. Interesting name. Ward Yont, 17, was cruising a Phoenix, Arizona street in his pickup truck when he saw a young hoodlum snatch a purse from an old woman and run. He pursued the criminal for several blocks, both in the truck and on foot, before catching him and holding him for police with a .38 caliber revolver. A police officer on the scene said, I wish we had more citizens in town who would get involved like that. So we've got two stories with officers saying, I wish more people would get involved. Ladies and gentlemen, what's that telling you? We got a connection going here. Get your license. Get prepared. Use your mathematical formula. Mindset plus mechanics equals response time. And be a sentinel on the street. Story number four. An armed robber should have taken Alton Trace's advice when the San Jose, California shop owner told him to play it cool. I've got a gun here and I'm calling the police. But the criminal, claiming to have a gun of his own, advanced on the 64-year-old Trace, who opened fire, dropping the intruder in his tracks. Hey, look, you know, when you got the gun pointed at you and somebody tells you to do something, comply. Comply. Because this is what happens when you don't comply. And I guarantee you, if you don't comply with me, there's going to be a challenge just like this. And here's another thing, ladies and gentlemen. Back to CEFCO. I'm in line at CEFCO, and I'm getting my things at the counter there. Don't stand behind me. Do not stand behind me. Stand to the rear of me.
Oh, man.
But do not stand breathing down my neck, okay? When you're breathing down my neck, you have become a potential threat to me, okay? Stay away, arm's length. I'm just warning you, stay away.
What if I was just running or something? What if I just got done working out?
What are you talking about?
Breathing down your neck? What if I'm just tired?
Then breathe down about four or five tiles away from me, okay? But I'm telling you, you are pushing the limits of my security levels, okay? Don't do that.
But that's the whole point of standing in line. One behind another.
Have you ever seen the bank tellers? They've got the teller booths, and then you've got this space where they've got that cord or the railings where you stand in and you get in a line, but you stand here and wait till you're called. That's what they should do. Anyway. Okay. I should make that an opinion piece. I think I have, to be honest with you. Speaking of opinion pieces, ladies and gentlemen, this week's opinion piece is titled, I Can Tell By... Okay, I'm ragging on people today. I Can Tell By The Way You Drive. Ladies and gentlemen, they say you are what you eat. Well, if that's true, then we can also say you shoot like you drive. And ladies and gentlemen, from what I see, there's a lot of bad drivers out there. Driving, like personal safety, is mostly about situational awareness. You need to pay attention to your surroundings. And to the bad driver, no, you don't own the road. Taking a Sunday drive on a weekday rush hour is just one of the ways you put yourself at risk. Driving slow at times like that will cause many other drivers to become impatient, lose their temper, and possibly become aggressive to you. And don't do me or other drivers a favor of pulling over to the shoulder and staying there thinking it's another lane of traffic. First of all, it's not legal. Second, it's a hazard to you and others. And thirdly, it kicks up all the rocks and debris, causes paint chips and cracked windshields to those behind you. How about respect to others when passing vehicles? If you're going to pass a vehicle, then do it! And do it quickly. Taking 2 miles to pass a slow vehicle while others are trying to pass as well is just downright rude. Get your head out of your app. APP. That's right. Drive. Don't play with your phone. Why do you drive 50 in a 70 but still drive 50 in a 30? Why? Because you have your head up your apps. You're a hazard on the road to others. Stay home. Turn your heads once in a while. See what's all around you. That skinny horizontal mirror in front of you is not for applying makeup or cleaning your nose. It's to see what's going on behind you. Use it. If you're doing 60 in a 70 and someone's trying to pass, why do you speed up? You're just being an obnoxious app. The list goes on and on and on and on. So how are the bad drivers potential bad shooters? Because in your host's humble opinion, the attitudes people have while driving can transfer to shooting. Lack of common sense, lack of respect for others, aggressiveness, and just the lack of ability of using the tool at hand. So, take an advanced training seminar from me and become a good shooter. The other drivers on the road will thank you for it. Joel, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson.
Nice.
We're gonna be talking. We'll be talking feds, state, local police raids. See you on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Dolnock from EBCO Development. What happens when that bargain roofing job fails? Your roof leaks and your ceiling is damaged. You pay for it. That's what. Especially when your bargain roofer is uninsured. Good idea? No. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. New construction, roofing, remodeling, siding, and more. Call us first. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program, January 26, 2019. And to my left sits attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. Ross is in the house. How's it going, buddy?
In the house.
How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. It's just happy to be here. We got, I think we're talking a little Fourth Amendment today, and I always love my Fourth Amendment. I just wish I'd have known a little ahead of time we were going to get into that, and I'd have wore my shirt.
And let me explain why he said that, because we usually talk during the course of the week, shortly after the show, a day or so after the show, I'm coming up with another segment topic, and we agree upon it, but then I was asking a question, and Ross had made a comment, well, this is a really good topic, let's talk about it, but it was a very last-minute thing, so we're going to just like shoot from the hip here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what it was, I happened to see an article about Richard Stone being raided, and he was what Trump's people during the campaign.
Yeah, and it was involved in emails that were transferred, and him having knowledge with the Russians and all that collusion. The whole thing is
whatever.
Absurd.
But the point was, everybody knows who this guy is. He's a respected businessman. He's not a threat to anybody. Well, some may argue, I guess, but he gets raided by a mass amount of law enforcement, feds, and I was just like, why do they do that when you hear stories of other people who say, okay, the guy's in trouble, they made arrangements, him and his attorney made arrangements with law enforcement, he's going to turn himself in at 11 o'clock on Saturday. When you hear stuff like that on such a person who's of higher crime or a more physical type of crime, or there's potential there, there's a lot of dirtier things going on, and then you have this guy who's established through the course of decades, and they raid him. Why do they do that? I personally think it's to make it look real bad. It's political, partially, but then I'm sure there's some reasons legally why they would do it.
And I think my response at least put you on your heels for about half a second. I think you were expecting me to go, yeah, that's ridiculous, and then I hit you with a bunch of reasons why it would be necessary to do something like that, even in this case.
And I concur with what you told me. Go ahead and tell me.
But I'm not going to disagree with you that has gotten out of hand, and it is. And I also said, first of all, it's a good topic because it leads to what I always bring up on here: the constantly being degraded relationship between the community and law enforcement. I think that it's scenarios like this that have people going, man, why was that really necessary? And you were just using it as a tool, right, for the establishment, you know, instead of looking out for the citizens and being something. But so then I'm going to go into really the legal response to this, which, you know, you've got to respect in some sort of degree. And I said, I do, you know, I do a bunch of collections work. I do a bunch of recovery and collections and asset type of things, and judgment recovery. We do a lot of post-judgment. So if I go and win a personal injury case, Rick wins a big judgment, right? And it's not against, let's say, an insurance company or a corporation that has a lot of money. Then Rick's going to come to me and go, okay, I got a multi-million dollar judgment for my car wreck. Now what do I do with it, Mr. Watts? I don't know what to do with it. And I'm going to go, don't worry about that, man. Why don't you hand that document to me, and I'm going to go find this person. I'm going to find every single asset that they've got. Right. And we're going to find out where they are. And then we're going to use the judicial process and investigators and repo guys and other asset recovery specialists and get you your money. And so when you think about it, from my job in the asset protection and asset recovery fields, right, are not a whole lot different than what you would be. In fact, I work with a lot of ex-police officers and ex-military people, right, in recovering. And don't forget about our investigations agency that we use. A lot of our guys were in the military and law enforcement. And so, right, we're doing the same kinds of things that they're going to do when they're doing a criminal investigation to go locate certain evidence and try to find people and witnesses to show them where they are, because they're working on kind of the same thing we are. They got a small piece of information, and they're trying to find all the information, and they're trying to have context. They don't have context, so as many connections that you can make as possible is relevant. And so why would it be necessary then, when we find out where that asset is, and remember, this is a person, okay, this is a person, why would it be necessary for me to use the element of surprise, right, before going and essentially taking everything that person's got? Well, I think it's obvious, right? If they know I'm coming, they're going to do something with those assets.
I get that, but what if they usually raid at 6 in the morning? You're still in your underwears and flip-flops, okay? You're getting ready for work or whatever. The family's home. It causes shock and awe. Why can't you say, well, we know where this guy is every time at 9 o'clock in the morning. He's at work. What's the difference between him being at work, not knowing it's coming, and say, look, we're taking you in, blah, blah, blah. We're going to secure your house, okay?
So I think another issue that we talk about here is bail a lot. If somebody's got if they've got unlimited amount of cash and resources, right, and they can go anywhere in the world, and they've got connections to people with power that can hook them up, right, in different mm-hmm. locations, and they've got the ability to travel very easily, right, then that makes them a flight risk. In this scenario, yeah, he may be under investigation, but he might not be taking it serious, right, because it's a sealed complaint, and he doesn't know it's about to come, and so they want to make sure that they can jump on his house before he knows what's going on so that he does not flee.
I know, but if he's at work at 9 o'clock in the morning the day before, it's like he's not going nowhere, man. He's right there.
Because it may be a sealed complaint. The feds, on the federal level, they do what they call sealed complaints. And you don't even know that it's coming. All you think is you're under investigation. We don't have anything. So I did my interview and they didn't have anything, and they're not going to do anything. It's been so long. Well, that complaint may have just been sitting there and you haven't known because it's been sealed and they haven't told anybody. And they may be going for the warrant, but they haven't said anything about it. So he may not have thought that there was a lot to it. Okay, I don't know about this case. I didn't even see the.
We don't have to know about this case.
In this specific situation, you may be right. It may be completely absurd, but right in others.
Here's another example. Look at Waco. Remember Waco? They knew where Koresh was. They could have picked him up anytime they wanted to. Yet they wanted to stage a show and make it look good. And look what that happened. Then you got another case where they either raid the wrong house or somebody who's being raided, not guilty yet. Okay. Raided is defending themselves because they feel that there's a threat in the home. Because I know if I'm getting raided in the middle of the night and I haven't identified who these people are and they're in my dark hallway, we got a problem. We have a problem.
And that's what I was trying to say. It's because of this. It's because of the use of these types of methods to enforce the law, so to speak, and to go and seize people and evidence. It's overuse of that type of stuff that has led to police officers getting shot because people think burglars are coming in, people thinking that this is some kind of military raid, right? PTSD or some other kind of problem, waking up in the middle of the night are not going to be, right, your most friendliest, right, folks that you're going to meet, okay? And then it's kind of unnecessary, right? I think that's a good word, that it's unnecessary to do the things that they're doing. And
in certain situations, which happen to be, in my opinion, maybe more of a majority of the situations. Now, right. Granted, what you're saying in the necessities, totally get it.
I'll be honest with you, from the civil collection standpoint, you're not going to be taking the individual to jail, and you're usually doing it during the day, and you're not going to just break down the door. It's not like a warrant case. But as far as I'm going to do everything I'm legally required to, but if I'm not required to go above and beyond to give you notice that I'm coming, I'm not going to do it, because I don't want you to squander the assets. I don't want you to recruit Confederates to, you know, help your cause when I get there. I don't want you to flee. I don't want you to take the assets with you. I don't want you to liquidate.
Isn't that a little different, though, than somebody owing money and you got to get their assets, as compared to this person may do hard time for supposedly doing something? The person who you're getting assets from,
I think it's offense specific. What are they accused of doing? And the circumstances are going to be different in every case. And that's why I said this part is going to inject us directly into the Fourth Amendment.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you had a situation like this, call me. Be anonymous. Just we'd like to hear the story.
And
254-697-6633.
So then we're going to start backwards, kind of from the Fourth Amendment standpoint. There's the knock and announce rule. Even when they come down on your house, right, without notice, and they're coming with that warrant to get you, right? A lot of times there was this rule under the Fourth Amendment, because remember, it's reasonableness, and when they go into your house, it's an area of privacy. And so you want to protect and maintain that privacy. And so they kind of said that they needed to knock and announce, said that they were coming before they just kicked down the door. And then, too, for the safety aspect, the courts have over and time again in dealing with the knock and announce rule quoted and cited and recited the policy behind trying to keep and establish the relationship between law enforcement and the people. And it's degraded and downplayed, and it only hurts that relationship and is harmed when police just break down the door for no reason. That is more irritating, I promise you, than seeing somebody get raided. It's like, okay, you raided them, but at least you knocked on the door, let them come get their night robe on and come down and open the door. When you see them raid and then just kick down the door without knocking, that right there, in my opinion, almost always is unnecessary unless they feel like, right, this is a militant group.
And I can understand that, but you got to have some type of background on it first. But here's another
and
thing.
And so, but the Fourth Amendment, I wanted to say this, the courts have essentially made, again, the Fourth Amendment useless, right, in the criminal context, right, for being able to do anything about the knock and announce rule. If they don't knock and announce and they come in, right, there's essentially nothing you can do to get the search thrown out. Every once in a while, you may have a civil case, right? If something goes down and they just kick down the door and guns started blazing, blasting, and people got hurt, maybe you might have a civil case. But as far as, right,
see, that's what bugs
protecting
me.
Your privacy, they've, of course, essentially, it's gone out the window.
Let's go back to Stone for a second. They raid his house, they get him early morning before he even gets out the house, and you got the family. One of the first questions he asked was, is my wife okay? Why can't, if law enforcement is going to come at 6 o'clock, why can't they wait till 6:15 when he walks out the door to go to his car? It's the same difference. 15 minutes later, he's not going to know either way. I don't understand the necessity of breaking in the house. Why can't you surround the house and wait for that individual on a certain type of situation like this where he's not a murderer, rapist, all this kind of stuff, you know?
Their defense may be that these were electronic stuff, right? If he knew that they were out there and didn't come in, maybe there would have been a chance to delete stuff. Maybe there would have been a chance to hide stuff. There could possibly could have been a chance to prepare your mind for, you know, immediate responses to their questions. Maybe there would be a chance to prepare your story and your witnesses really quick. Hey, when they ask you this, just remember, say such and such, right? Which there may not be any time, right, for those kinds of things when they came down quickly. But again, I'm kind of like you. I don't know much about this situation, but unless there's a real reason, a need, a necessity from the government standpoint, and not mere conjecture about what the other person might do as far as their story, I don't think that they should be using these types of methods.
Okay, what about this angle on it? Let's say everything's the same, except the guys who are wearing tactical gear, M4s, the whole works, are wearing suits, have weapons tucked in their holsters, or maybe even have it at the ready, okay? But they're in unmarked cars, they got the same number of people, they're wearing their suits on an individual like this. Why do you have to do the big parade of tactical vehicles, SWAT teams, uniforms, all it just, on a person like this, it just gets me.
No kidding. I'm not going to shoot any slugs here, but, I mean, there's been more than a handful of cases in this community where we have gotten those types of parades, and for things like traffic offenses, and I'm not lying, and it's just kind of unnecessary. And even officers later go, "Yeah, that was probably maybe a little overboard," and, you know. But there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, if there's a possible civil case, that man, they were. I mean, especially if nobody got hurt. So it's like I'll tell you this. It's like this. I don't mind talking about Harold Weezer up there in Rosebud. He wants me to talk. We advertised about his case, and it was Clyde and I. It was the one I've talked about at least twice on here. Where, and the only reason I use him a lot is because he allows me to use his name. He told me, you know, we should have wrote a magazine story on it, but. And the police officers got a person stopped on the side of the road, and this goes back, it stems past history between the two, right, for 2 or 3 weeks. of him, Mr. Weezer, telling everybody that the police in Rosebud have to stop stopping people outside the city limits because, you know, it's a municipality at that time, at least, and that was illegal. They had no right to stop them outside their jurisdiction, and they're stopping all these people because it was in a construction zone where fines were double. Okay, and so he keeps telling the police officer, and finally the police officer's had enough and essentially escorts him to his car and tells him if he does that again, he's going to take him to jail. Well, Mr. Weezer sees him the next day, stopped a guy in the construction zone outside the city, right? And Mr. Weezer drives by and flips him off, you know, and goes, F you!
That's a classic. I got to take a snippet of that.
F you! And before you know it, the officer is then, right, giving the license back and chasing him down the highway, and he actually makes it into his place without a problem, and the police officer follows him down a private road, and they have an argument, and I think what won the jury over is the police officer saying, did you flip me off? And Mr. Weezer said, yes, I did. And the officer said, if you do that again, I'm going to arrest you for reckless driving. Well, then Mr. Weezer, after the police officer leaves, right, tells him not to do that again, and proceeds to write a letter to all of the city board members telling him what happened and that he's going to come after him. Well, at 6 o'clock that morning, we had SWAT team from Falls County, Marlin, the Rosebud Police Department. I think they got some help from the sheriff and maybe even McLennan County. And they all swooped down at 6 in the morning, and Mr. Weezer's 70-something years old, and his wife's 70-something years old. I mean, never been in trouble before. And they come in and with the charge of something about assault on a public servant with use of a deadly weapon. Right? And, I mean,
I'm embarrassed for law enforcement. Okay.
And now this officer is actually, the officer that started all this is actually in Cameron, now working at the Cameron Police Department. But, right, and so I just think it was obviously not guilty. That case was obviously not guilty. That does not make people have confidence in the way that law enforcement uses its methods. And I will never back down from the facts of that case. That case was absolutely ridiculous and should have never been brought to court. I mean, it was just a citizen using his freedom of speech to tell them that they should not be breaking the law by stopping people outside the jurisdiction for the motive of money.
You know, I've said this for quite a long time, that there seems to be a wall between law enforcement and the populace that they protect. At certain points in time in recent history, that wall has been extremely high and extremely thick. And I think recently, lately, not too long ago, many blocks have been knocked out of that wall. It just, there's not as much tension from what I see. It's still there, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't seem to be as thick like the Missouri riots and all that kind of stuff, and then just everybody's getting tactical stuff, and it just seemed like there was this major aggression of law enforcement, and it was a total separation. But I say this because it is so vitally important that the populace respect, follow instruction, listen, obey to the laws and those who wear the badge. And I think it's extremely important, if not more so, for law enforcement to maintain their credibility, the respect to the population. There's this buffer zone in there that don't jack with the police, and police don't mess with the citizens to cause them to get riled up, maintain a professional manner in everything we do. And overkill with SWAT teams, I don't think, helps the situation at all.
Right, and those are the kinds of cases that it's just like, really? And, I mean, and as far as the Fourth Amendment is concerned, there's problems here too, right? Because our home is our castle. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that goes into some of the problems with these kinds of rules. And just remember, on an exigent circumstances kind of case, if it's a drug case, right, they're always going to argue that destruction of evidence. They're always, well, if they see us coming, right, they're going to go throw it down the toilet, or they're going to eat it, or they're going to, you know, throw it down the disposal. There's going to be a way to get rid of this.
Eating it would be the most stupid way to do it, wouldn't it? Here, you're taking wherever you go.
I don't know. You may like a good time. So, I mean,
I'm trying to hide it, so I'm going to take it with me wherever I go, you know, in the jail, in the whatever.
And And so there's those exigent circumstances that may not even require them to get a warrant. And I just think just because it's a drug case, there's no reason for police to say, we're not going to go get a warrant. Right? I mean, if you know these, if you know they're, what they're going to do, or it's just only, I mean, in my opinion, and the courts have started to kind of go that way because of some outrageous cases, police will just go in and without being, having any other authority based on the speculation, it may be good evidence, it may be probable cause that there's drugs in the house, but they don't say what kind, they just have some idea that it's in there, and I think courts have actually a little bit backed off from just saying, we'll allow you to go in.
Ross, do me a favor. Fourth Amendment's very big with you. Explain it in your own words as thoroughly as you can, and then explain the process, which you partially did, about how it authorizes law enforcement to go do what they have to do with a warrant. Explain that process. Everybody understands what the Fourth Amendment is, and then the procedure for going over that right basically with a warrant.
So the Fourth Amendment is going to tell you that it protects you from unreasonable searches and seizures. And it does that to protect one's person, house, papers, and effects. Okay? Their property. Okay? Their person and their property. And so it's the keys there are unreasonable. And I said what it protects because open fields, you would think if you, for instance, fence in your property, right, and have your fence, and that was a trespass. In the olden days, and there is much debate. I could go, we don't have near enough time, especially since it's towards the end of the show. But there, you would, in the olden days, you could shoot a police officer for trespassing on your property without a warrant, which was authority from the king or authority from the government to come on your property. And so when you think about, and Scalia was a big believer in the trespass sort of thing and wanted to bring that back, and we still can use some trespass, but I don't want to say trespass because it gives the wrong idea, because you would think if your place is fenced in, right, this would be an effect. One of your effects, your property.
Mm-hmm.
But, in fact, open fields is an exception to the Fourth Amendment. And so police officers are allowed to go in the open fields without a warrant or probable cause, something to that effect. And because it's not private. There's no privacy aspect. And so I think now that it may not be an exception to the probable cause part of it, with Scalia really pushing for a trespass. But really, there's going to be no harm. You know, what are you going to argue? The thing is, there's going to be some debate, I think, come up with the trespass aspect. But the bottom line is, the open field is an exception right now to the Fourth Amendment. And so we're really talking about the area that's really intimate to your home,
mm-hmm.
right? What we call the curtilage. Okay, and don't ask me how far it goes. It's different in every single case. It matters in every case how private that area is.
Well, if you're in a subdivision and you have a lot that your house is on and your grass goes up to the sidewalk, would that be considered?
Probably your curtilage. But again, is it? There's privacy aspects. Where the mailbox is doesn't mean where the mailbox is, because the mailman goes there every day. It could anybody that delivers mail to your house walk right up to your front door? I would say your walkway up to your front door is maybe not your curtilage. But when you get outside right there on the bushes, maybe that's where the curtilage at least begins, or at least that's where the buffer zone is for your house. Your house, no doubt, at least at some point, has a buffer zone around it. And that's the point the police can't go and be a peeping Tom and look through your windows mm-hmm. and walk around your curtilage area that's really your intimate area associated with your privacy. It is your castle. No king would want another army, you know, sitting up against the walls, twiddling their thumbs. They wouldn't appreciate that. They'd start firing immediately. The same thing with us. We don't want people who are possible enemies or people that pose threats to us, right, sitting and peeping through our windows and learning who we are. And so for our persons and papers and effects, right, that's going to protect us, and it's going to require police to have two things to be reasonable. They need two things to be reasonable: probable cause and a warrant. If they don't have one of these two things, we are going to presume that it's unreasonable. So even if they see through the window that there is dirty, you know, some kind of dirty magazine for instance, that you're not supposed to have under some state law, okay, if they see it through the window, do they have probable cause that at that moment you're committing a crime? Absolutely. Absolutely, they have probable cause. They have probable cause to believe that you're committing a crime. Could they arrest you? Possibly. Yeah, if you're right there where they can apprehend you, absolutely. Do they have a right to come in your house?
If they have probable cause.
If that police officer comes into your house, seizes that magazine, and places you under arrest, is that a valid seizure and a valid arrest?
I'm not 100% sure, based on how you're saying this. When you're seeing,
you need two things to be reasonable in the Fourth Amendment. You need probable cause and a warrant.
I know, but I thought you said
we start with this analysis.
Well, then no.
It's on start from the standpoint of that search, that seizure, that entry, right, was unreasonable. Yes, you had probable cause, but you did not have a warrant.
Okay,
and so now the government, the judge is going to look at the state and go, it's unlawful. What's your excuse? And the state is going to have some delineated exceptions that we have, which is they're going to have to show hot pursuit. Judge, I saw him steal that magazine from the store, and then he ran from me, and I chased him for three blocks, and he tried to run and hide in his house. And that's what we call hot pursuit. That's an exception. Right, and that allows police officers to break down your door immediately when you try to close it on them and stay in there because you're in hot pursuit. You had no right. When you committed the crime outside, and if you would have complied with the law, you were. So that continues as long as that pursuit continues without regard to what obstacles you throw in the police officer's way. So it's not a house at that point. Mm-hmm. It's a mere obstacle that the police is removing from himself. It wasn't that. Because the police officer on your property peeping through your window.
What if the person runs into somebody else?
Hold on a second. I'm gonna hit every exception with this, right? So then we go, right? Did he have exigent circumstances? Exigent circumstances, or was there an emergency? Is it destructibility? Is there evidence destructibility? Is there a threat from other people in the house that the police officer knows of? Is there anything else that would have given this police officer cause to believe that an exigency existed such that immediate breaking and entry was necessary and that to avoid going and getting a warrant? You have no evidence in the story that I just gave you that any of that is true. All we know is he's on your property looking through your window and sees a dirty magazine that's somewhat illegal under state law. He doesn't have any evidence that you're going to take this magazine and destroy it. A magazine is not something that's readily flushable down a toilet. There's no argument.
So what's the moral of the story? Keep your windows closed, right?
No. You're going to get, and that's what I'm saying. So he did not have an exigency. There was no reason for him to jump in and think that he needed to. The house wasn't on fire. This wasn't a child, right? It wasn't people or women crying, children crying in the house. There wasn't calls from neighbors. It was simple fact that neighbors that they have guns and they're shooting at people, okay? Calls from neighbors aren't enough. It's definitely not an exigency or everybody would be getting arrested for a dispute with their neighbor. And so, he's got nothing that there's an exigency to do anything. So, no, he needed to get a warrant, right? But maybe he's going to say that you were going to destroy that magazine and there was a fire in the backyard and the police officer thought, you know, like not a house in a burn ban, but let's say
a fire pit,
and you could have easily thrown the magazine in the fire if he did not immediately break in. That would not work, but let's just say that it works, for instance, here. The police officer still got to justify why he's within your curtilage.
This is so intense, man. There's so many things you got
to
know.
So let's say he gets a warrant requirement, an exception to the warrant requirement, and says there was exigent circumstances because you could have destroyed the magazine by throwing it into the fire pit or the grill that you were grilling your hot dogs, right? Then the defense lawyer, a good defense lawyer, would say, but I'm talking about the predicate seizure. I'm talking about the predicate search. And you say predicate search, the one that preceded, mm-hmm. right, the going into the house. Because when you crossed this man's curtilage, it was at that point, right, that you violated the Fourth Amendment. And you did not even know that there was a barbecue going on until you looked through the window. So you did not have exigent circumstances, right, at the time that you crossed the buffer zone. And so I want to know, what was the exception to the Fourth Amendment that allowed you, right, to cross into the curtilage?
You know, Ross,
and that's important, and I think that illustrates the importance of the curtilage.
You're saying all this, and as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying sometimes these episodes that happen, you would look at it on the outside with common sense and say, man, you know, you know the guy was wrong, you know he was bad, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't stop and defend those laws and those rights, everything gets blurred. So, and the reason I'm bringing this up is sometimes you'll look at a defense attorney thinking, why is he bringing this up? Of course he's getting paid, don't get me wrong. But there could be a good portion of it is like, hey, I'm a defender of the law, and the law says this, and these are your rights, and these are violated, and if we don't stop it and keep it in check here...
If you think I was being overly technical, my point was this.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the courtroom.
If you don't have the curtilage protection, if you don't protect the curtilage, the intimate part of the, surrounding the home, with as much intimacy as you protect those other rights, you're going to lose that privacy. And that's because if he can simply go look in the window, right, he's going to be able to come up with any exception that he wants to make. He's going to be able to say anything. He'll be able to have, he would have already been able to see your entire private life. What if it's you and your wife on the couch, right, making intimate love that you won't want anybody else to see? Mm-hmm. Cheating on your wife, that's nobody else's business.
I totally concur with what you're saying. I think you misunderstood what I was saying. In general, you might think this guy's a bad guy. We should be able to get him. But you can't because you're violating those things you're trying to protect.
Exactly.
So even though you may know, okay, this guy's really a scumbag, I still have to defend his rights because if we don't do it for him, somebody's going to do it to me and you're going to lose it all.
It goes back to the Christian Burrell speech case when the guy just horrendously killed that little girl, okay? And it's when and they threw it out because under the Fifth Amendment it was an invalid confession and they wouldn't have got it otherwise. And so the Supreme Court threw the case out. And when they were bashed by other judges and people in the judiciary and people in the legal community and in the society in general, the judge's response was, nothing we write can bring that little girl back. Right. But the decisions we make today affects the advancement of society for generations to come.
That's true. It's true. Ross, we're almost out of time. Real quickly, can you please, I had a question said, can an officer ask for ID for any reason? Now, there's a couple categories. You're a licensed carry holder, and you're just a regular Joe on the street, Joe and Jane on the street. At what reasons can an officer require it, and can a person decline if they wanted to?
If you're a license holder, do not decline to do what? Search or what?
Just the officer decides to ask for identification for whatever reason he feels it's necessary.
Just give him your ID. If you forgot your wallet at the house, I guess you need to say no. But there's a state law that says police officers can ask you for your ID. A good defense attorney is going to say, man, what was the predicate search and seizure for? When you accosted him on the street, you stopped him, and you invaded his space and prevented him from going about his day, and you needed a warrant for that. You needed reasonable suspicion for that. Well, I saw him openly carrying. And we got into this. It's going to take more than 30 seconds, right? This goes back to, well, just because you see somebody driving, does that mean you get to stop them for driving a car? Right? To see if they're licensed? The same argument is going to apply here. Just because you see them carrying a gun, do you get to stop them, right, to ask them for their license? The other side, the state's going to say, Judge, 80 to 90% of the people who drive vehicles are validly licensed, right? There's only 20% of the population is licensed to carry a gun.
Okay, well, the clean answer
We don't have an answer to that, whether it's legal or not. My point is, don't forget your wallet. Carry it with you if you're going to be open carrying, right? And if a police officer asks you to see your license, don't be a Don't be stupid.
Okay, hold on one second. Joel, we're going to do a change up on the schedule. I'm going to run him for another minute or two, and then we're going to do commercials, and then we're going to have Chief come on at 11, and then we'll do Janae after that. That's Inside Scoop you're listening to. Now, let me ask you this.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't...
No, I'm running late.
You asked the question right here at the end of the show. I mean, I'm not going to give a wrong answer here.
It's amazing. I got the power to shift things, so I'm going to do it.
And you're all powerful.
I got a question. Remember a month and a half ago, I asked, and I forget what the topic was, why I brought this up. Should you pre-sterilize your home? Just the perfect case is Stone. He's getting ambushed, right? So if you think that...
That's another reason to do it. Do the raid.
And the but what if you didn't do anything wrong yet?
Now you're supporting the raid. See, that's what I was saying. There's many reasons to do a raid based on surprise. There's many reasons to do it, and it's for that pre-sterilization.
Yeah, but he kind of had an idea it was coming. I may steal that from you.
The sterilization, right, excuse, and I don't ever represent the government. Well, normally, it's possible, but I don't represent the state, especially on a criminal raid. But I think that is absolutely a good excuse to sterilization standpoint. That's what we're saying. We don't want them to sterilize, right, our reasons for bringing the case.
I'm talking about just good common sense would always be to have yourself sterilized, not humanly, but, you know, your effects. The way you live your lifestyle should be one of my basic home is clean. I've got things elsewhere that I can't get. My gun's taken away.
You're talking about, right, your planning.
Planning.
You're planning your... Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. I think that you absolutely should protect your assets from people like me. I think you should protect, right, yourself from getting into trouble. That was my whole point, right? I hated criminal defense because it's almost like you're coming to a doctor when you've already got the cancer advanced to the nth degree. Come to me before you have these issues, right? And let's talk about how to... Right, make yourself secure as far as legally, from a legal standpoint, right, from an asset protection and credit standpoint, from all these things. Let's work on preventative maintenance and care and not, right, curative. Meaning,
well, maybe down the road we'll talk about this again, but now I have to cut you short. So tell everybody, it's an awesome concept today. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and whatever else you want to tell them.
Okay, if you guys need to get a hold of me, just come by 105 East Main Street here in Cameron. It's got the big milk cow on the side. You can't miss it. If you need to give us a call, it's 254-605-4140, 254-605-4140. And we love questions about the show. We get emails all the time. So if you don't call and want to email me, you do that at Benton@Watson.legal. That's Benton@Watson.legal. Make sure you leave your phone number so I can call you back and talk to you about the facts personally.
And thank you, Copland Dodd, Krebs Law Firm. Thank you, Rick, for sponsoring this large segment of the program.
Bring me some judgments to go get, man.
And Joel, let's commercials till about 11:01, and then we get the chief on, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you on the other side.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Betros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great Saturday morning. A little bit cloudy outside, but it's supposed to get warm this weekend. Of course, then next week it's supposed to drop the bottom out. We'll have some more cold weather. Been a great winter so far, though. We need some of this cold weather once in a while to kind of wake us up to understand how bad our summers in Texas can be. Hope everybody's having a great day today. You know, over the last 4 weeks, all you've heard about, basically, on the news media has been about the government shutdown, about how we're going to have a border wall and not have a border wall. There's so many different opinions about whether we should and shouldn't. I know where I stand on it, and I guess where I stand doesn't matter, so there's no use me even saying that. But I also think that we've got to do something to control our borders. And with that being in mind, our government's going to open up back again this week. I understand it started today. A lot of the airports have reinstituted some people. The national parks opened back up today. With that comes something that's going to be happening more often. You know, back during the last 4 weeks, the government said that at no time would they really be working too hard on Internal Revenue Service issues. They wouldn't be working on getting your refunds, tax refunds out there, et cetera, et cetera. Well, with that in mind, what I want to do is I'm going to do a two-part, this week and next week, program about identity theft. You know, when people start getting their tax refunds back, wanting their tax refunds back, that's when the identity thievers go to work. That is a prime time for people to have their identity taken. It's a prime time to have their identity stolen. And especially if you still use the snail mail to file your income tax returns, which a lot of people still do. And if you do that, then we will definitely want to talk about and listen about what we're going to talk about today. You know, the crime of identity theft is on the rise. I mean, it's everywhere you turn, you hear about people that's had their identity stolen. It's become a very significant problem for law enforcement. The biggest problem you have with it is nobody knows, nobody has the impetus to be able to solve those crimes. The federal government usually won't attack anything unless it's $100,000 or greater. Let me tell you, if you've got $100,000 of money laying around that can be stolen, you don't want it stolen. To me, $1,000 stolen is too much. You know, with that being said, there's some issues of concern about what you need to look for. I don't know how many of you have had the phone calls about different people saying they're from the Internal Revenue Service, and if you don't pay your back taxes by money order, that you're going to go to jail, or you're going to send officers out right now to arrest you. Folks, the Internal Revenue Service, and this is really important, will never call you on the telephone. Nobody from the Internal Revenue Service will use a telephone to contact you. Everything by law that what they do has to go through snail mail. They'll send you a document in the mail. Now, it's also important to remember that the victim of identity theft is a person whose identity has been fraudulently assumed by another with the intent to obtain your credit, your goods, or your services without your consent. There is no financial loss that's necessary for you to be a victim of it. Identity theft occurs includes things such as the assumption of someone's name, address, the credit card information, your driver's license, or your social security number, to be able to use that personal data to be able to gain credit or to be able to file credit cards. And then you wake up one morning and you're getting these bills that says that you owe $8,000, $9,000, in back credit card bills. This is the one time that having a great credit report where you can get almost credit on a heartbeat, that it hurts you, because someone can send in information. They see that your name, your credit line says that you're good for $10,000 or more, and they send that credit card to that person, and it's not you. So, fortunately, there's some ways around this. You know, the victims of credit and banking fraud will usually be liable for no more than $50 of the loss. However, there are a lot of times when you're not even going to be required to pay for that, especially if you've got a good credit with that particular company. But I will tell you this. If you don't usually file that once you learn it, once you determine that your credit is being stolen, if you don't file that within 2 days, most of the time they will not waive that $50 fee. So keep that in mind. Even though victims are usually not required to pay their imposter's bills, they're often left with a bad credit report and must spend money and even years regaining their financial health. What can you do in the meantime? Well, and what happens is, if in the meantime that does happen, you might have a hard time either writing checks, getting a loan, as far down as renting apartments or renting or trying to buy a new car or renting a rental vehicle. Stealing wallets used to be the best way to identify thieves to obtain credit cards and numbers and other pieces of identification. The old-fashioned pickpocket. Well, those pretty much have gone out of the way. It's too much trouble now. They use more sophisticated means. Those new sophisticated means many times are used to access your credit report by posing as an employer, by a loan officer or a landlord, and to get a copy of it. The crooks are ingenious nowadays. You know, they may steal mail from your mailbox to obtain newly issued credit cards. I can't tell you how many times in the mail I get these things that says I qualify for a $10,000 credit card, I wish, or I qualify for a new car, and they have my name, they have my information, they give you a sample credit card that says non-negotiable on it. But what it does, it allows somebody that's not the right kind of person to be able to access that information about you. So what I'd like to do is also talk about a few other things. Have you ever heard of someone going dumpster diving? Unfortunately, the Supreme Court ruled that if you put mail out by the street, that if someone goes through that mail, it's not illegal because it is, trash. It is discarded waste. Folks, wait till the very day that your trash collector comes around to throw your trash away, or put it out to the curb. If you have any financial information that comes in the mail, such as advertisements, such as someone offering you a chance to buy a new car at a very low rate, shred that. Go down to Walmart, go down to wherever, and buy you a $20 shredder and shred that material. There is nothing more important than not letting someone else see your opportunities and your information. But what can you do? What's some of the things that we can do to avoid being a victim of identity theft? Number one, to minimize the amount of information identity theft can steal, don't carry extra credit cards with you, your Social Security card, your birth certificate, or your passport. Don't put it in your wallet. Don't put it in your purse. Carry only the essential items that you're going to need for the day. You know, there's a lot of people. I was in a checkout line at HEB a few weeks ago. The lady in front of me had a big old purse. Matter of fact, she probably could have moved my whole house in that purse. Anyhow, she had a big old purse. She pulled out her wallet, opened it up, and it was one of those bifold wallets. And I bet she had 20 different credit cards sitting in there. Folks, that's a danger. Take one or two credit cards that you know that you've got with you. Make sure that you have taken a picture of that credit card on your smartphone, that you've got the front and the back of it. Carry that card with you. Why do you want to take a picture? Well, if something happens where you lose that credit card, or if that credit card is stolen, you've got the information, you've got the phone number, you've got your access number on the back that you can immediately call and have that card flagged. Flag it as soon as you can, as soon as you know it. If you lose a credit card, or even if you misplace a credit card, instead of you worrying about it, simply call your credit card company. Tell them you've lost your credit card. Even if you find it later, tell them you've lost your credit card. They will send you a new card with a new number. That way you don't have to worry about where the other credit card is floating around. Now, also, if you need to learn how to reduce the amount of personal information that's floating around out there, remove your name from marketing lists of the three major credit card bureaus. You know, there's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. If you feel that you have been violated, then what you need to do is you need to call those three, ask to be put on a fraud alert or a fraud watch. That way they'll not only limit the number of pre-approved offers that you receive in the mail, but they also will catch anything that happens that comes through with your name on it that you didn't authorize. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do that are really important. You know, when you start, especially when we start talking about personal safety, we tell people that they need to remove their name from phone books or just have your name and your phone number put in there, not your address. You know, do little things like that that will help minimize it. A lot of people don't want to do this, and I understand, but if you have the opportunity and you have a place where the mail is delivered out by the curb, spend a few dollars, buy you a mailbox that has a locking mechanism on it. The mailman can still raise the front of it up, drop your mail in. That way nobody else can open your mail when they're driving by or when you fail to put something in your mailbox, such as a bill or things of that nature. You know, and I've often thought here, I guess it was about a month and a half ago, I had, everybody's got monthly bills. Well, I put three bills out in my mailbox to be picked up by my postman to be carried off. Well, just about a week or so ago, I get three phone calls from these different companies that I have my bills to. And they said they never received the last month's payment. I've got it in my check register where I wrote them, where I signed the checks, but they never received. Obviously, somebody went through and took my mail out of my mailbox. That happens on a fairly regular basis, and a lot of people think that they can call the postal inspector and they'll do something about it. Folks, the postal inspector, there's one or two for this whole region. That's all there is. You're not going to get a lot of service, and I'm not being down or trying to be critical of the postal service, but they have so much to do that they can't catch up. Put that in there or get you a post office box at the mailbox. And when you order new checks, and this is something that I've changed my idea about, when you order new checks and you need to get them delivered to your house, don't have them sent to your home directly. Have them sent to a post office and ask that they be picked up, or have them sent where they require a signature to be delivered. Think about that. You're sitting out in your mailbox and you've got 1,000 checks that you've just ordered sitting there for anybody to come along and pick up. When you pay your bills, don't place the envelopes containing your checks in your mailbox once again. It's the same thing. Just make sure you don't do that. If it's possible, and a lot of times, especially the older community, the older folks in our community, they don't want to do this, but the best way to pay your bills is electronically. Get online, have somebody help you set them up for a monthly draw. You say, well, somebody could hack my system. A lot harder to do that than just picking up the mail out of your mailbox. Reduce the number of credit cards you have and use only the bare necessity again. I repeat that. Too many people have too many credit cards. Last but not least, folks, keep a list and a copy of your bail and make sure that you know what you sent out, what you brought in, what you plan to do. Never give out your credit card information over the phone unless you have a trusted business that you're dealing with. Too many people, I've heard people giving their credit cards out, giving information out. It's dangerous to do that. Now, last but not least, folks, for the day, order your credit report once a year from each of the three major credit card bureaus. They're free. The federal law says they're free. They cannot charge you for them. Take those. Make sure that you know what has been charged, what your credit report is, and see if there's any negative things on your credit card. And last but not least, always, always, when you go somewhere, folks, and I repeat, always, make sure that you take your credit card receipts and your debit card receipts. You'd be surprised how sometimes we just pick those up, crumple them up, put them in our pocket, or throw them away, and that person who did the charging could have charged anything in the world. Keep your receipts, put your receipts where they're safe, and make sure that you always know what you're spending and where you're spending it. And like I said, this is going to be a two-week identity theft program. So, folks, tune in next week when I'm going to talk about specifically Internal Revenue Service, or some people say the Infernal Revenue Service. And we're going to talk about how you can avoid being a victim from that. So until next week, everybody, have a safe week. Be safe. Use common sense and protect your identity. And take care, everyone. God bless.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. DABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do, because low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're EBCO Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Hello, my lovelies. How's that diet coming along? Riding the struggle bus? Craving the cave? Not so fast. Let me help you out with some safe treats to eat. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. I have a problem with these low-carb, low-sugar desserts. Not only do they cost a fortune to produce, but they don't taste nearly as good as what I'm truly craving. As if spending $30 to make keto-friendly cookies wasn't bad enough. Not only that, I don't feel like I should have to work with 13 or more foreign ingredients just to save a few calories. Needless to say, I've done my homework, and I've found some outstanding alternatives that will save you time, money, and diet efforts. For instance, did you know that you can make ice cream with just one base ingredient? You'll peel like I'm lying when I tell you it's bananas. I know, I didn't believe it at first either, but you know, I had to give it a shot. I'll level with you, bananas aren't really my favorite thing, but I put that bias aside and I'm really glad I did. To make your own banana ice cream, all you need is ripe bananas. You can also add in some of your typical favorites. I chose walnuts and chocolate chips to make a chunky monkey flavor. I typically use about 2 bananas for 3 small servings. You'll want to slice each banana into half-inch chunks and lay them in a single layer on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Freeze them for at least 4 hours before introducing them to a food processor or a heavy-duty blender. It helps to add a little bit of milk to soften the mix, about a tablespoon or 2. Once it's smooth, you can add any toppings or additional flavorings and eat your banana ice cream immediately. If you care for a firmer texture, you can put it in an airtight container and freeze it for at least 2 more hours. Who says chocolate strawberries are only for Valentine's Day? Truly, you'll love yourself some after hearing about this. Dark chocolate, considered to be one of the healthiest choices, only contains about 135 calories per ounce. And with strawberries only harboring 4 calories per serving, you're in for a sweet treat. I wouldn't go overboard with this one. In fact, I'd hack it a little bit, and opt to drizzle chocolate over your strawberries instead of completely submerging them. If you're really craving chocolate, give this chocolate mug cake a shot instead. This one was crafted by yours truly. And you know the best part? There's only 4 ingredients. It's rather tasty, too. For 1 chocolate mug cake, you'll need 3 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, 1 tablespoon of coconut or vegetable oil, 1 egg, and a 1/4 cup of sugar equivalent. I chose to use Splenda, but you can use sugar, agave nectar, or honey if you'd like. Mix all your ingredients in an 8-ounce or larger mug until it's smooth. You can opt to top it with a few chocolate chips, too. Pop your mug into the microwave and nuke it for a minute and a half, and let it rest for about a minute before enjoying. Who knew that peanut butter cookies could be so tasty with only 3 ingredients? At a little over 100 calories per cookie, these are a great alternative and they taste just as good, if not better, than the real thing. For this one, you'll need 1 cup of peanut butter, 1 egg, and 1/2 a cup equivalent of your choice sweetener. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Mix your ingredients together in a medium-sized mixing bowl, and be careful not to overmix. Your cookies can become very tough. Scoop the dough to form 1-inch rounds and place each round on parchment-lined cookie sheet. This process can get a little messy, so I recommend wetting your hands with a small bit of water to prevent the dough from sticking to you. Next, mark your peanut butter cookie rounds with a fork to give them that traditional branding. You can dip your fork in water for this step as well to help with that easy release during the marking. Bake for about 12 minutes or until lightly browned. Let them cool for 5 minutes before enjoying. I thought I'd be punny and give you soup recipes for next week's Super Bowl, but I figured you'd hate me less if I gave you a hookup on Super Bowl snacks instead. You'll have to tune in next week to make sure you have some game-changing recipes on hand. In the meantime, any questions or advice needed from this or any other segments can be sent to tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. As always, I enjoy this time we get together. Have a great weekend, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, January 26, 2019. And ladies and gentlemen, I just got to say, I got an incredible crew. I really do. If you think about it, I got attorneys Rick Dodd, Benton Ross Watson. I've got the delicious Janae Goodman. I've got Chief Randy Dixon. I've got Master Cindy Key. I've got all the people who sponsor me. Board operators, the whole works, man. I just got a great crew, and they're doing a fantastic job, and I can't thank them enough. Now, I'm right here in the product spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms. And this week, we're going to be talking about the Canik, or Canik, C-A-N-I-K, however you want to say it. I'm going to say Canik, PT9SA 9mm pistol. ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. The number's 254-983-4417. Arch Kuntz is the owner. I've known him for a long time. He's a great guy. Very nice, generous, got a great store there, got a great staff, Clint, Mike, Dennis, pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, accessories, reloading equipment, the works. So you need to check it out. If you want to see this gun, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and you will see Chief Loading Rifle holding the handgun, and you get to see what it looks like. Okay, it's a pretty good gun. Now, I've got an article here that I've dissected from LuckyGunner.com by Chris Baker. And because I know what I think about it. I've shot this gun. It shoots great. Very accurate. I like the trigger, which is odd for me on these types of striker fire pistols. But this was a good trigger. So I'm going to read and dissect this article so you can have some ideas of what it is. They can order you one. It's a good gun for a good price. Now, the original TP9 features a striker-fired action that basically simulates a traditional double-action, single-action, hammer-fired semi-auto. Racking around and then a chamber cocks a striker displaying a red indicator on the rear of the slide. A button on top of the slide partly decocks the striker so you end up with a stiff double-action trigger pull on the first shot and a lighter single-action trigger on the following shots. Now, the Koenig TP9SA, the one we're talking about today, features a two-piece trigger safety similar to the one found on Glocks and other striker-fired pistols. What I received, however, was the Koenig TP9SA. Unlike the standard TP9, it has a Glock-like trigger safety so that the gun can safely be carried in a single-action mode with the striker pre-cocked. Oddly enough, the TP9SA still has the decocker button on the top of the slide, but pressing it causes the trigger to go dead with no double action operation. Let me clarify that. The first model, you could just keep pulling the trigger. If you wanted to, you could decock the weapon by pushing the button on the top, and it changes it from a single action, a light trigger pull, to a heavy double action. The new one, the new version, is strictly a single action, but you still can decock the weapon by pushing the button on the top, okay? Now, along with a pair of 18-round Mikar magazines, a few other accessories were included in the box. Polymer retention holster with a Black Hawk Serpa-style release mechanism and two different types of belt attachments. A magazine loading device and a large backstrap insert that can be swapped for the smaller insert already on the grip. The Koenig TP9 backstrap allows for a high hand placement on the front strap checkering, and that's a nice touch. The TP9SA handled well in rapid-fire drills. The overall shootability of the TP9SA is really a product of the single-action trigger, which I concur. It has a light take-up with a crisp break measuring 5.5 pounds and a short, deliberate reset. It's one of the best striker-fire factory triggers that I've had pleasure in using. And I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I have to agree on that. I mean, when I compare it to a Glock or a M&P or an XD, it's just as good, if not maybe a hair better. The trigger, back to the article, the trigger is the last thing you expect to like on a budget-priced gun, but the Koenig trigger is very reminiscent to the widely-praised trigger on the Walther PPQ. And once again, I concur. The trigger on the TP9SA does yield the desired benefit of being easier to shoot accurately at speed than the typical factory striker-fired gun. Like most modern handguns, the Koenig TP9SA is shipped with a set of plain white three-dot sights with a drift-adjuster rear sight. To take away any fears about the Koenig's ability to put holes where they're supposed to, I shot a few five-shot groups from the bench rest with four different self-defense loads. Three of the four loads produced what I consider to be excellent groups at 25 yards. And ladies and gentlemen, that all depends on the shooter. Now, I had the weapon, I shot it, and I was doing self-defense maneuvers at 10 to 15 yards, and my groups were dead on target. And that's both eyes open, just point shooting, and I'm getting a tight group. So you can imagine if you utilize the sight. The author here fired 1,000 rounds from the hot shot ammo during the range session, which took over a two-week period, as well as a couple of boxes worth of the above hollow point assortment, all without incident. In fact, I actually forgot to clean and lube the pistol at the beginning of the test and only slapped a couple of drops of lube on the slide rails after the first 400 rounds had been fired. In spite of accumulating a pretty nasty layer of residue from the dirty hot shot ammo, there were no feeding issues, no discernible decrease in accuracy, and no parts breakages. The Koenig passed with flying colors. The TP9SA chewed through 1,000 rounds of cheap, filthy Full Metal Jacket ammo without a hitch. For those times when you can't stretch your budget, affordable guns like the Koenig TP9SA have a lot of appeal. If all of them are reliable as this one that he received, then it's probably the best value in the striker-fired full-size pistol market. Now, if you go look at the video, you'll notice it has a light rail. It's a full-size firearm. It's got three-dot sight system. It's got the trigger mechanism like I told you about. It's got the decocking mechanism up on the top. It's got adjustable backstrap for depending on the type of palm you have. So it'll fill your palm, either the small or the large backstrap. And it's got a high capacity, 18-round capacity, two mags with accessories to go. And I think the prices are like in the low 400s, if not high 300s. It's a pretty good gun. Comes from Turkey. I'm impressed with it. for what you're paying for. So if you're on some type of a budget or not, this is a pretty good gun to check out. So call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here on the radio. Tell them you want to buy it. Have them order it, whatever. Go there and see them now. But while you're traveling to ANC Firearms now, make sure you have the radio tuned in to me. Do not stop listening to me. Okay. All right, Joel, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a whole bunch of this and a whole bunch of that. So we'll see you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development. For more than 25 years, you've been able to find EBCO Development in the phone book. How many other companies are still listed along with us? It's a good question. Check it out and see for yourself. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Quality remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. That's EBCO Development. Call us first at 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rocktail at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail, 254-721-2775.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Mitchell Radio Program. Again, it's January 26, 2019. Gosh, it's almost February. Can you believe it? Ladies and gentlemen, Let's see, how can I explain this? Monday through Friday, I give out testimonials to a group of people via text. And I just wanted to proclaim my faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't want to be ashamed or embarrassed or anything like that. I want you all to know that's my faith, okay? But what I'm going to do every Saturday, I'm going to read to you one of the ones that affect me the most of my testimonials. And it's only going to take, 30 seconds to read it. So I'm going to read that to you, and I want it to become part of it. If you want to become part of my list of people I send it to, send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. But this is it right here. I send it out Monday through Friday. I give everybody a break on the weekend. But it says, good morning. It's funny. In my morning studies, I have a thought or a pounding of the heart as to what to write, and by the time I'm finished, I'm nowhere as close to my original thought. Well, this morning is no different. I've been anxious lately, and the Lord guided me to these verses instead of what I was going to plan in the first place. It's Proverbs 30, 8 through 9. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Those were verses 8 and 9. Everything comes from the Lord. Everything. It would be terrible for us to become self-indulgent and think it's solely us who provide for ourselves. Who is the Lord? He is our provider, protector, counselor. He is all things to everyone. And by his grace, he has given us opportunity of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. His written word is like an onion, layer upon layer of love and wisdom. Only this onion will make you cry from the love he gives, not from the burning of your eyes. Have a blessed day. So if you'd like to become a follower if you want to become on the list of people I send testimonials to, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and when you get them, feel free to share them with others if you want. Now, ladies and gentlemen, also, I do seminars of advanced training and people in groups of five. If you have a group of five and you want to contact me, because what I'm doing now is I'm no longer setting dates. I've just got too many things going on and too many groups coming at me, so I have to do it this way. If you have a group of five or more, you organize a group of five or more, I will set up a class date for you, not only for seminars and advanced training, and if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page, you'll see the different types of seminars that we provide, but also the license to carry class. So I'm not going to take one person at a time. Get yourself a group of five or more, and we will set up a class date for you. That's the only way I can do it at this point in time. Also, I'm providing in-home training. Now, that can be one person at a time or a family, things of that nature. And I basically go over what it is you need. If it's learning how to select the proper handgun, if it's just getting some basic understanding of gun safety, if it's going through your home, looking at weak spots or danger areas or things to think about when it comes to securing your home, I do that kind of stuff. So you can contact me via email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website, look up the number, give us a call, 254-697-4721, and we can help you out there. Also, don't forget, you've heard the commercials for me bartending. If you've got a party, a wedding, corporate event, things of that nature, and you need a bartender to take care of your guests in a professional manner, and we got a beautiful bar set up, we can take care of it for you. Give me a call, and we'll arrange that for you as well. Now, I've got Master Cindy Key in the house here. She's going to be beating me up around 5 minutes to noon. Master Key, welcome to the show. Why don't you sit over here and get you on camera a little bit? And I've got her sitting in here. I don't have a guest, so I said, Master Key, come on in here, sit next to me, and make some commentary if you want on some of the stuff I'm going to go over. And I've got a whole bunch of articles here, and I'm just going to tell you what's on my mind from them. I cut one of these out, or I cut a bunch of them out, and I'll read the headlines and tell you what my thought was for cutting it out. But I've got an article here, and I wrote on the article, People Among Us. These are some of the people who walk among us. Headline, pushed from a moving vehicle, Belton man indicted for reportedly assaulting woman. After he reportedly pushed a woman from a moving vehicle, Jesus Ernest Garcia, 27, of Belton, was indicted for aggravated assault causing serious bodily injury. A victim was taken to a hospital with severe injuries after she argued with Garcia November 1st in a vehicle. A witness saw the woman hit the pavement and she stayed in a fetal position as Garcia drove away. The witness tried to get Garcia to come back and check on the woman. Garcia was found, and check this out, this scumbag. Garcia was found in Belton by police officers and he was hiding under a bed in the house. You chicken, you know what I want to say. What a piece of crap this guy is. All right, the second article on the same page, Rodilio Lopez Barragan, a 57-year-old Belton man, was indicted for indecency with a child by sexual contact and invasive visual recording. Barragan's indictment said he reportedly sexually touched a child younger than 17 to gratify his own desires. A second indictment said he sexually touched a different girl who was younger than 17. Look, you creeps. You creeps out there. Go into a dark room, get a jar of Vaseline, whatever it takes, man. But leave the children alone. Don't let me catch you messing with an underage, especially a child, small child. Anyway, you got people like that running around. Makes me sick. Here's another one. Three people charged in a shooting. These are people who live among us. This is Harker Heights. Three people have been charged with aggravated robbery in connection with Harker Heights' first shooting of 2019. Hey, let's celebrate the first shooting of 2019. Three people, I'm not even going to mention their names, were arrested on a charge of aggravated robbery. The Harker Heights Police Department said, blah, blah, blah. The victim, as the three suspects were leaving the resident, shot one of them, and he's still in the hospital. In the news release, police spokesman said, Kent Rivera and the third person entered the home in West Valley Road and robbed a homeowner at gunpoint. According to Miller, the person hospitalized was shot by the victim. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, be prepared. Have your weapon at home. Know how to use it. God forbid if somebody breaks into your house, you'll have the upper edge and able to defend yourself. Okay, here's another one. This is very sad. Child fatally shoots cousin while playing with gun. Houston police said a 9-year-old child was fatally shot by a 9-year-old cousin while playing with a gun the children found in a local apartment. Police Lieutenant Larry Crossan said Wednesday the shooting was a tragic accident. He said the cousin cannot be charged because state law does not allow charges for anyone younger than 10. Police are investigating and trying to determine how the child got the gun. Police said Harris County District Attorney will decide whether the parents or guardians face charges in the shooting. Now, let me tell you how that works. The owner of the gun, if you did not secure the weapon and allow somebody 17 years of age or younger to have access to that weapon, or somebody who's unauthorized to have access to that weapon, you're in trouble. That's a Class C misdemeanor. If the child hurts himself or somebody else, it turns to a Class A misdemeanor. That's the person who owns the gun, and that's for starters, okay? So I wrote here, keep your guns, stick your gun laws up your rear end, but to those who do have guns, you better secure your firearms, okay? Be responsible for the firearms. I'm not going to push for gun legislation. I'm not going to push for restrictions. I'm not going to push for anything because I will fight it. But I will tell you, I'll use my First Amendment right to say, don't be stupid. Secure your firearms, especially if you got children around. Next story. This was January 24th. Five fatally shot in bank. I'll read the story and I'll ask you a question. A gunman opened fire. And you've heard this. They found out they had no motive, but I'll read the initial story. A gunman opened fire inside a Florida bank Wednesday, killing five people before surrendering to SWAT team, police say. The shooter called police to report he had fired shots inside the bank in Sebring, about 80 miles southeast of Tampa. Negotiations failed to persuade the barricaded man to leave the building. The SWAT team then entered the bank, and the gunman eventually gave up, police said. The reason I write this, we got five dead people in a bank. For all you licensed to carry people out there, you're always asking me, well, you can't go into a bank, right? Because it's a federal building. It is not a federal building. It is a private business that is federally insured. It is up to the owner of that bank or whoever managed that bank or position of authority to post a sign properly to say, hey, we don't want people with guns in there. But if you do that, owner, you're an idiot. And I'll tell you why. A person comes in there who's going to cause harm doesn't know if there's a gun in the bank or not. So what I'm trying to get at is this. I want to ask you this question. What are you on a scale from 1 to 10? Let me clarify the question. What are you on a scale from 1 to 10? 10 being you got the gun on you all the time, as long as it's legal to do so. And let me clarify that. If you're somewhere from 12 midnight to 12 in the afternoon and you're not allowed to have it, well, at 12:01 when you get off of work until you go to work the next day, you are legal to have a gun on you. What are you? Are you a 10 where it's on you all the time? Or are you a 1 where you're just playing games? If you're a 10 or close to a 10 and you know what you're doing, you could have done something to stop this crazy guy from shooting everybody. So all I'm saying is, depending on where you are, if you're a licensed to carry holder and you've got that firearm on you, you better know your mathematics. Mindset plus mechanics equals response time. If you understand the situation of life and understand the mechanics of your clothing and your firearm and know how to use it, your response time to a situation like this will be very quick and very determined and very final if you do it right. Okay? I teach classes to get you to that condition. Stop playing around and get your act together for those of you who don't do the proper training. Okay? Here's another interesting story. Kidnapping suspect kept Wisconsin girl under bed. For nearly 3 months, prosecutors say 13-year-old Jamie Kloss was held in a remote woodland cabin and often forced to hide in a 2.5-foot space beneath the kidnapper's bed, going without food, water, or bathroom for hours, too terrified to flee from the man she knew had fatally shot both her parents. But when Jake Thomas Patterson left the remote cabin on the 88th day of the captivity, she finally made a break for freedom, authorities said. She put on Patterson's sneakers so hastily that they ended up being on the wrong feet. After a neighbor found her and called 911, Patterson was soon captured as he drove around the area searching for her. She's 13 years old, and if you read the criminal complaint, you can see the amount of control that was exerted over her, the district attorney said. At some point, she found it within herself at 13 years old to say, I'm going to get myself out of the situation. I think it's incredible. I'm reading that story because there's a lot of people out there who have their heads up their apps, okay? A lot of kids. They're clueless. There's a lot of parents out there, a lot of adults who are clueless. If we have the understanding and the mindset that it's not a nice world out there, and I'm not saying get paranoid. Paranoid's when you don't know. I know. There's a potential threat around every corner. There's a potential threat around every corner. You never know. So you have to be prepared. You have to pay attention to your surroundings, situational awareness. You have to understand the mechanics of how things work when it comes to your self-defense. You just have to be prepared. So situations like this, you have the fortitude within inside yourself to figure it out, to think, to problem solve, to get out of a situation. So fortunately, this girl got... She got it in herself to get out of there. It's unfortunate she had to wait 88 days. Okay. I'm talking a lot, Ms. King. Got any comments?
No, that's true. That you have to be aware of your situation as far as what you're capable of doing, what you think they may be capable of doing, your surroundings, how close you are, your distance, and whatever, whether you're using a gun or whether you use an open hand, you know, how it all works together to help you in your situation.
You said something I learned a long time ago. Never underestimate your opponent.
Nope.
Opponent. I'm getting tongue-tied here.
Nope, never underestimate.
I remember when I was in the military, there was this guy probably half my size, and he became a ranger, and he did incredible things. It's amazing when you have the mental determination. It doesn't matter your size or deficiencies. You can overcome them.
That's true. That's very true. My husband, when he was in the military, he said that one of the drill sergeants was very small and very large.
He must have been the same guy I had.
No, but he said one of the larger men was like not doing what he was supposed to, and he said he jumped up from a standstill and basically he called it jap slapping him with his foot.
And this guy, when I'm in basic training, he's half my height. And I remember that the drill sergeant's hat's tilted up. And I'm looking at him with his hands on his hips. And he's looking at me. And I'm like, oh, this guy's freaking me out. And I teach this in my class. I said, this guy's got some onions. You know, I don't know, but never underestimate somebody. I've got a final story here that I'll read just because I'm running out of time. It's not a story. It's an article. And this is by Sheriff Jim Wilson. It's titled Surviving a Gunfight, Tips for Preparation and Problem Solving. Sounds like I just said that earlier. You can engrave this into your brain. A gunfight is going to be what it's going to be. It will probably come as a complete surprise. The attack will most likely come much faster than a person expects, and it would undoubtedly involve elements that the person has not thought about. In short, it creates a life-threatening problem that the armed citizen has to solve and solve quickly. Our society does not allow the honest citizen to initiate the action. If we're to survive, we have to respond to the threat and overcome it. It's like running a foot race with a guy who has been given a 10-yard lead. On one particular narcotic raid, the shooting started outside, in the dark. A particular officer rushed outside, assessed the situation, and aimed his handgun at the suspect. Then he swung his gun out towards the street, swung it back, and made the shot. When asked about it later, the officer stated that when he aimed at the suspect, he couldn't see his sights. So he swung over towards the streetlight, lined up the sights, and swung back to make the shot. This is a great example of encountering an unexpected and encountering the unexpected and quickly solving the problem. I got a slight comment to that. If depending on the distance and depending on if you feel comfortable what your backstop, your target, and your backstop are, point shooting, you don't need to line up your sights. If you come to train with me, you're going to understand how to point shoot with extreme accuracy. I read these articles where these guys get 2.5-inch shot groups at 15 yards aiming. I can do that with both eyes open on a quick shot, okay? So it's just a matter of training. But in this particular case, because he's an officer in a situation, he had to focus in on his sights. So it's a little trick that you learn. I can't see the sights. Get a contrasting color. There they are. And then when you feel secure, they're lined up, bring it on your target and shoot, okay? Armed citizens really have two major challenges. First, they must learn the defensive firearm so well that they can hit the target quickly and efficiently. Second, they also must learn as much as they can about the dynamics of a criminal attack so they begin to develop an idea of what can happen and what to do about it. Being a good shot is only part of the solution. The rest is learning how to survive a violent criminal attack that has been forced upon you. One way to improve our fighting skills is to take a training class from people who have had to use a firearm to defend themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I read the true stories of self-defense. If students will listen, they can get a better understanding of what actually happens in a gunfight, and we learn what to do and what not to do in a situation. That was me adding it. In addition to training from those who have actually experienced attacks, one can make use of the internet, which I do constantly. I'm always watching videos, learning on other people what to do and what not to do. That's me again. I'm briefly reading this because I'm running out of time. All right, last paragraph. So you've got the latest and greatest. Cool gun and state-of-the-art ammunition. You've even learned how to hit a target most of the time. Now the greater task is before you, learning how to fight with your gear. That's how you solve the problem. So ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole bunch of things to think about. You need training. Everybody needs training. It's a perishable skill. If you don't practice, it'll come back just like riding a bike, but at the moment before you practice getting riding that bike, you may fall off the curb. So it's the same thing with a handgun. If you're using a firearm and you're proficient, great. If you don't use the firearm for a while, those skills start to deteriorate. You got to stay constant. You don't have to do a lot, but you might need a lot in the beginning to get yourself up to speed, and then it just takes a little bit to maintain it. All right, Joel, let's take a minute or two break, and when we come back, Master Cindy Key is going to do something. What are you going to do to me today?
You asked for a gun defense, so unload your gun.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Sounds good. We'll see you on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, January 26, 2019, and we are with Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, and she's gonna hurt my hand. Master Key, why don't you get on the mic there? Let's tell everybody what you're gonna be doing. Explain. This isn't for giggles. This is one of those desperation type of scenarios.
No,
okay?
this is you have somebody's got a gun close to you. They're very close to you. If they're at a distance, that's completely different self-defense move. But they're here. They want your money. They want your car keys. Maybe they want to take you. You know, I don't know. Any of those scenarios would be okay. But this is a close inside defense of a gun. And you're going to use a pressing block, and a pressing block is just my hand coming here, and you're going to grab on top of the gun. But when I'm facing Matt, if he has the gun here, when I'm facing him, I'm going to get out of this line of fire right here.
We'll show the gun in just a second, but yeah. We're mocking.
Okay,
right now.
So here's the line of fire, but I don't want to be here because the bullet's going to go straight here, and I'm dead if he hits me here. I want to move out of the way. So I'm going to be turning as well as grabbing the gun and then giving it back to him.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a comment. If I was an evil Matt and I was training, giving evil seminars, one of my biggest things I would teach in my evil seminar is never get close to the person you're trying to rob with a firearm. You ever see these guys with guns and they're at the forehead? I'm like, okay, don't do that. But since I'm the bad guy, I'm an idiot, I'm going to do it. I'm using my nice Colt New Agent here. I'm going to show there's no magazine in. Slides locked to the rear. Nothing in the chamber because I'm going to be pointing this at her. Weapons clear, right, Joel? Okay. All right, Ms. Key, I'm going to be stupid and get close to you. And I'm going to say, look, I want your wallet. I want your watch. I want your money. Do it now. Do now. Oh, goodness. What do you want? You want my wallet? All right, let's do that slow motion, Ms. Key.
Slow motion.
And once again, we're checking it. Weapon is clear.
Fingers slow motion. My hands are going to immediately come up because I want to look defensive, especially because sometimes when you put this weapon this way, it's going to go off. It's going to shoot him.
Yeah, possibly.
So, depending on what kind of gun and stuff. So I don't want to look like I'm going to take it away and shoot.
Okay, let's try an angle so they can see the center mat right there. Let's try that so they can get to see how it's pointed directly at you. Okay.
Here's the center mass where he's going to shoot. The minute he starts asking, I'm already going to be sliding out of this line of fire right here if I can, if he doesn't, like, redirect on me. But if not, then I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to grab the top of the weapon. My thumb is in here.
Now, don't forget, everybody, my finger would be in the trigger, so that's going to hurt, okay?
Go ahead and put your finger in there. I'll just use your finger.
Okay. And then she twists it around.
I twist it around, and I'm going to take it. Now I have it.
Okay, very good. Ms. Key, we're almost out of time. Tell everybody how they can learn things like that, how they can get a hold of you, and anything else you got.
Okay. I'm in Rockdale off of Highway 77, about a mile from the overpass on the left, and I'm running my new student special is ongoing. It's $99 for 2 months of class, trial membership. Come join me. Your kids join me. They learn basic self-defense in that 2 months and have some fun, too. You have to get more advanced for me to teach you that or be an adult. I don't teach the gun defense to children, but come see me at 254-721-2775, and God bless.
That's right, everybody. Until next week, God bless. Keep it powder dry. Joel, take us out with some good music, and we'll see you on the other side.